today as we come to the table.
Some of you are just like in the vineyard and you're going for it. And God's saying, it's time to leave the vineyard. Some of you are just standing on the sidelines going, well, they can go in the vineyard. Why can't I go in the vineyard? Well, I'm not really doing anything in the vineyard. I'm just kind of watching the vineyard, right? Here's the bottom line. Stay away from anything that can tempt you. Because whenever you get to a place where you shouldn't be, whenever you're hanging out in an area that you shouldn't be hanging out, whenever you put yourself in a position you shouldn't put yourself in, look what happens. A lion came roaring out to devour him. Whenever we put ourselves in a position where the lion can come roaring out to devour us, guess what will eventually happen? The lion will roar out and devour us.
An evening ritual my wife and I share is fresh popcorn. Didn't start that way. It used to be that occasionally I'd offer to make some for both of us, and since she'd decline, I would only measure out enough kernels for myself. However, I'd only get to enjoy half of what I made. Thus, the portions increased, and the habit was formed. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches that there are far too many instances in life where you might be tempted by your surroundings. If you really do not want popcorn, well, it's really hard to abstain when you can smell it and reach it. Sometimes it may be better off if you leave the room before it consumes you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 14, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Judges chapter 14. As you know, we started looking at Judges 14. We only got verse 1 as we began looking at a life of compromise in Samson's life. And then today we're going to be looking at his continued compromise, continue this message on a life of compromise. And we're going to be going verses 2 through 7, but I want to read verse 1 because I think that's necessary for the intro and the running go. So notice in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Now Samson went down to Timnah, and he saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And so he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as wife. And his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among my people, of all my people that is, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." Let's pray. Lord, God, a life of compromise is a life that's going to have many consequences. And as we look at Samson's life, although you called him, although you set him aside, and although you laid your hand on him, he lived a life of compromise. And because of his life of compromise, he suffered, and the nation of Israel was not as blessed as they would have been, nor did they have the deliverer that you intended Samson to be. And God, let that be a warning to us. I pray as we look at Samson's life, God, we would see the ways that you used Samson and amazement that you used him and all the ways that he compromised. But at the same time, God, that we would realize that the compromise that we allow in our life will limit us, and it will limit the way that you can use us for your glory. And if there's any here today, and no doubt, Lord, there are many of us here today that have areas of compromise, we wouldn't leave this place today until we deal with it. And God, we would also learn how to get the power to deal with it before we leave this place. Lord, let us not go home the way we came this morning, but let it be all for your glory. And I pray now you'd open your word to us. God, teach us by your Spirit. about living in compromise and living a righteous life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said last time, we began looking at Samson's life, and now that he's grown and watching his life, although being set aside by God, Samson had become a man of compromise. And there could be a number of reasons for that. It could have been Samson on his own. It could have been influenced by his parents, which we'll get to and see in just a moment. But either way, he had become a man of compromise. And rather than being the deliverer that God wanted him to be for the nation of Israel, although God did use Samson, and we're going to see how God used him, Samson himself was a captive. Samson himself needed to be delivered. So the deliverer needed to be delivered. And why? Because of compromise in his life. Some of you need to be delivered. You know the Lord. You love the Lord. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But you're enslaved right now to compromise and or some sin in your life because you've allowed compromise in. And I can tell you, whenever you allow compromise in on a regular basis, it will eventually snare you. You can't run forever. It comes by surprise, and it comes at times you don't expect it. Much better to weed out the compromise and make sure we're walking with God the way that God has called us to be walking with him, and have basically our life taken captive for God rather than our life taken captive for the enemy. Because compromise and captivity to sin go hand in hand. If we're taken captive, we compromise. And if we compromise, we're taken captive. So they work together as a team, and that's why we really need to look in our lives and say, hey, God, is there any area in my life where I have compromised? And if there is, I need to deal with it. Now, also, before we're done today, I'm not going to leave you in despair. All right, Mark, thank you for reminding me that I have compromised, reminding me that I have areas where I may be enslaved or struggling, but you didn't tell me how to be free. Don't worry, I'm going to tell you how to be free. And it's going to be more than just pray to Jesus, although that is how you get free, is going to Jesus. But God gives us in his word the power, and we're going to talk about the way we get that power to be free from sins that, as the Bible says, so easily ensnare us. And again, compromise is a thing that not only pulls us down, but it also pulls people down around us. And so we lose our testimony, and oftentimes we can lose our walk with the Lord. So this is a very serious issue. Now, what is the definition of compromise? I'm not going to give you the Webster's Dictionary definition of compromise, but I'm going to give you a biblical viewpoint definition of compromise, and it is simply this: doing something as a Christian that we know God and his word forbids. That's all compromise is. Doing something as a Christian that we know that God's word forbids. So if we're doing something that we know God's word forbids, we are living a life of compromise. And that's where God wants to confront us in love and say, let's deal with it, because it's holding you back and it could eventually destroy you. And again, people that continue down that path, it does destroy. Samson was one of those guys. You know, we look at Samson's life, and we're going to get to the end of these chapters and dealing with Samson. And we're going to see that Samson, as you know, ends up giving his own life in his last dramatic event that he served God in fighting the Philistines. But I do not believe that was God's plan for Samson. God's plan for Samson, I don't believe, was that he die with the Philistines. I think God's plan for Samson was he defeat the Philistines and lead the nation to freedom. But the reason God couldn't do everything he wanted in Samson's life is because Samson didn't let God do everything God wanted to do in Samson's life. And that is to deal with every issue of every area of the heart that needed to be dealt with. And again, some of us, we have issues in our heart that God wants to deal with. And he's saying, let's do it. It's time. Take care of it. And that's what we're going to take up with as we see God, again, trying to deal with Samson, but Samson having the wrong heart. Notice in verse 1, let's jump into it. I want to, again, read verse 1, although we've covered that last time. I think it's important to see the very first sentence again as we see the path that Samson's on in his heart, because it says, now Samson went down to Timnah, and he saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, again, remember that first sentence is really where we spent most of our time last week. Samson was on his way down. And yes, geographically, it was down. We know that. Timnah is at a lower level than the area where he was from. But it was the Holy Spirit showing us in his word the direction that Samson was going. If God was to write a verse about you, would it be that verse? Would God say, and Mark went down, fill in the blank? Or would it be, and no, Mark was on his way up, and Mark was seeking God? What would be your story if God was writing it? Because this is what the word is all about. It's not just about reading about Samson. You know, it's about reading about our lives as well. And so Samson is now on his way down, and we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is showing us that because of what happens in his life. Notice verse 2. So he went up and told his father and his mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife, And notice he didn't ask, you know, he said, get her for me. And his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go to get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. And notice the father here points out uncircumcised Philistines. That would be today the same language as saying an unbeliever. You see, God had said in his word that the Jews, the believers of that day, were only to marry other believers. Why? Because the Bible says if you marry someone else, they'll pull you, that doesn't know the Lord, they'll pull you away from God and they'll pull you away from the things of God. So God says, don't go there, marry believers. And God gives us the same directive in the New Testament. As Christians today, we're to marry believers. But there was another reason that God did this with the Jews as well. It was to preserve the Jewish line for the promised Messiah. See, it was a much bigger deal than just marrying believers. God had said, I'm going to send you a Savior, and he's got to be pure 100% Jewish because that's the one I've promised to come through Abraham's line through Isaac. And so in order to maintain this pure Jewish line, don't marry outside of that so the Messiah can come. And of course, God preserved that and did do that, but this was the directive God gave them. Now look what Samson's doing. Samson, because he saw this cute little Philistine down in, you know, this area down there in Timnah, as we talked about last time, I know. But either way, he sees this cute little girl down there. He knows that God says she's not even, you know, you can't even choose that. She's not even an option. He says, I want her anyway, for she pleases me well. Samson was in a place he shouldn't be, and he was looking in areas he shouldn't be. And that, again, is where the problem comes in for many of us when we end up stumbling against God and his word. And so his dad is saying to him, you know, what are you doing? Can't you find another, I guess modern day vernacular would be, can't you find another Christian that you can be joined to rather than this woman down there? Because again, it's a compromise before God and a compromise before our family if you go and try to marry someone that's not a believer and not walking with the Lord. But it's interesting here to see Samson do this because again, why would Samson even go to his mom and dad? He was a man. And he wasn't living very godly, quite obviously. So why would he go and get their permission? You would think, hey, he would just go and find his bride and marry her. Understand, in our day, we want the blessing of our mom and dad. But back in that day, it was pretty much a requirement. If you were going to get married, you had to get the blessing of your mom and dad. It's the way the culture was. And so the families would come together, they would bless the marriage, they would put their blessing on it, and then you would get married. And so Samson's like, hey, I'm not going to ask you to go and consider whether or not I can marry this girl. Get her for me. Make the decision. You do this. And basically commanding his parents what to do because he wanted this Philistine girl. And so Samson, again, basically just following after his own desires and what he wanted rather than what God wanted. And this really sums up, again, the whole theme of the book of Judges. Remember, basically the theme of the book of Judges is everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And does that not describe much of our culture today, incidentally? But they were doing the same thing back then. We don't care what God says. It doesn't matter what God's word is. As a matter of fact, sadly, this new generation doesn't even know God's word. You know, it's interesting, in my generation growing up, for those of us who didn't know the Lord, and I was a part of those who didn't know the Lord for 25 years, at least we knew general things about the Bible. I had heard of Abraham and all these different people, and I knew about Samson, and I knew about David, and I knew the Bible, and I knew about the cross and all that it says. There are those today who certainly have heard about Jesus, but they don't know the Bible at all or any of the Bible characters. And so it was certainly, it certainly is a day today where everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. And that's exactly what was happening here in this day with Samson. Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And even when God warns us what to do, a lot of times we choose to go the wrong direction. For those of us who do know the word of God, God warns us. Maybe some of you this morning, you're going in a direction you know that God said not to go. You're doing it anyway. This is the same thing Samson was doing. And what we need to grasp from that, and if that's where you are, there's going to be great consequences to pay here in Samson's life before we're done. You're going to have great consequences to pay for that as well if you don't listen to the Lord. You know, God doesn't restrict us because he wants to take our fun away. God restricts us because he knows it will destroy us. You know, I used to think that, well, why would God not let me do certain things? I mean, certain things, they're fun. Why wouldn't God let me do them? Why does he call them sin? And why am I not allowed to do it? It's not that God doesn't want me to have fun. It's not that God doesn't want me to have pleasure. God created pleasure. God created fun. He's the author of everything. That's good. So why wouldn't God want that? Because God knows when it's done in a sinful way, it brings death and destruction. If we do it God's way, then it brings life and joy and peace. If we do it our way, it brings destruction. And so God restricts us because he doesn't want us to suffer. But again, Samson here decided, you know what? I don't really care what God says. I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes and do what I want to do because I'm going to live the way I want to live. So get her for me. She pleases me well. So his mother and father, but they're trying. Now, this is interesting about his mother and father. Notice they try to slow Samson down, but they don't make much of a stand. They simply say, well, you know, can't you find another Christian girl? Can't you, whatever the case might be? But they don't make a stand on it. And so they give in, and this gives us some insight, possibly as to why Samson was living a life of compromise. Because now we see a mom and dad who are living a life of compromise as well. And moms and dads, here's a warning for us. Our kids are going to do what we do, not what we say. They're going to do what we do. And if we are living a life of compromise, don't be surprised when we see our children living a life of compromise. And if we're living a life of non-compromise, don't be surprised when we see our kids living a life of non-compromise because they're looking to us. We set the example for them. And so when I see Samson's mom and dad here, again, I get like, well, you know, they're not really doing that much. At this point, it seems like they're fighting against him to some degree. But at the same time, we're going to see they don't make much of a stand because they give in. They give in to their son because she pleases me well, he says. But his father and his mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, this is a very interesting verse, because what this says is God wanted to deliver the children of Israel from the oppression of the Philistines, and he was looking for an excuse to do it, and God actually used Samson's compromise and sin as a springboard to do it. Now, that doesn't mean that God approved of what Samson did. That doesn't mean that God approved of Samson's mom and dad allowing him to do this, but it is interesting for me to see that even when we make wrong choices, and even when we make wrong decisions, God will use those wrong decisions and those wrong choices and turn it into something good for his namesake. The Bible says God makes beauty from ashes. And I look at this and I think, well, how in the world did God, you know, why would God use this for his glory when Samson's in rebellion, his parents aren't making a stand, and God says, you know what, I'm going to use that anyway. And it's just a testimony to the mercy of the Lord. You know, really what was in my heart this morning, sometimes there seems to be almost this theme in my heart, apart even from what we're teaching, that runs in my heart. And this morning it was that God's mercy is new every morning. How many of you guys need to hear that? God's mercy is new every morning. Is that good news or what? Because some of you guys blew it last night. You did. You did. I'm not just saying that to sound cute. You blew it last night. Some of you maybe blew it this morning. And you're feeling guilty right now. You're feeling condemned. First of all, let me say this. There's therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8. But after I say that, let me say this. His mercies are new every morning, which means we get to start over and say, God, have mercy on me. I need your new mercies every morning. And let me not leave this verse out. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And this is a big and, let it fill the room, A-N-D, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not just that we're forgiven. You ever feel like, okay, he forgives me, but I know I'm still filthy before him. No, you're not. You are forgiven and, fill the room, you are cleansed. Is that great news or what? I need that every morning. I don't think any of you guys are under the illusion that my life is perfect. I don't think anybody's under that illusion. But I have met people that think, well, you're the pastor. You don't struggle with it. I do struggle with these things. The same thing you do. And sometimes I mess up. And I go to that verse and say, God, please forgive me. And you've promised you'll forgive me. And you've promised you'll cleanse me. I need forgiveness and I need cleansing. And the Bible says it is a fact. He will do it. But then the human part kicks in. Well, I know that's what it says, but I still feel condemned or still feel whatever. We've got to deal with that and learn to let that go. Not you know, belittling our sin or acting like it's not something that we should, you know, feel grievous about. But at the same time, you need to know that you're forgiven and that you're clean before the Lord. And as I talk about compromise, and we look at the compromise in Samson's life, some of you feel that conviction of compromise. Maybe some of you feel condemnation of compromise. I am glad you feel convicted, but you should not feel condemned. There is a big difference in conviction and condemnation, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Conviction? That's like a, you know, a mom or a dad, you know, giving you some correction. That's like dodging that shoe coming across the living room as mom sees what you've done or whatever. You know. That's conviction. Well, that's also, you know, you need to be able to move good or anyway. So the bottom line is Samson here, when he does this, the problem with Samson is there's no conviction in Samson whatsoever. He's living a life of compromise without conviction. His father and mother are living a compromised position as well. And yet God is still going to use this as an occasion against the Philistines for his glory. So even when we mess up, God uses it. You know, God will sometimes, when I sin or I do something wrong and God convicts me and I feel so bad about it, and I have that time of prayer and say, what have I done and what am I doing? And God, help me, and I need your power, and you got it, whatever. Then God will begin to minister to me once I'm right with him and say, now you understand others better. Now you can love them better. Mark, because you have compromised. If somebody comes up to you after the service today and says, I've been compromising, can you pray for me? I don't judge them. When you guys come up to me and say, Pastor, I got to share something with you, I don't stand there and go, I thought so. You know what I say? I've been there. I don't say that to you out loud, but in my heart I go, I've been there. Let's pray. Because I know what it's like. And we all are struggling with the same things. And we need God's mercy. And we need God's power in our life. And again, this is something that you don't need to be condemned about today, but you need to be convicted of. And here God is, the encouraging thing is that even when we mess up, God uses it as an occasion against the enemy, like it says here in verse 4. And look at verse 5. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah. And to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him. Now, this is a very interesting verse for a number of reasons. It's already bad enough that he's going against God's word with this Philistine girl, but notice now he goes down on his way and stops by a vineyard. Do you remember the requirement of a Nazarite? Stay away from anything on the vine. Don't go near. Listen, if God says don't eat grapes, it's probably not best to go stand by him and go, huh, those are grapes. It's probably best from a distance to go, that's a vineyard, I'm going this way. Because I know in vineyards there are grapes, and God's told me not to eat grapes, so I'm going to stay away from the vineyard. Well, I'm mature enough to handle it. I'm going down there. Well, you can. You go ahead, but I'm not going anywhere near the grapes. You're legalistic, man. Look, I just know that if I get near grapes, I'm probably going to eat them. I'm not judging you, but I'm staying away from the vineyard. Some of you have grapes that you know you're not supposed to be eating, and you're hanging out at the vineyard. Maybe some of you are just like in the vineyard, and you're going for it, and God's saying, it's time to leave the vineyard. Some of you are just standing on the sidelines going, well, they can go in the vineyard. Why can't I go in the vineyard? Well, I'm not really doing anything in the vineyard. I'm just kind of watching the vineyard, right? Here's the bottom line. Stay away from anything that can tempt you. Because whenever you get to a place where you shouldn't be, whenever you're hanging out in an area that you shouldn't be hanging out, whenever you put yourself in a position you shouldn't put yourself in, look what happens. A lion came roaring out to devour him. Whenever we put ourselves in a position where the lion can come roaring out to devour us, guess what will eventually happen? The lion will roar out and devour us. Now, Samson, God in his mercy preserves him, because God wasn't done with Samson, and God was teaching Samson about his strength and power. No doubt God was going to use this as well, but Samson should have never been there. And here's the bottom line. If Samson had not been in the place where a lion could roar out against him, there would have been no lion that was roaring out against him.
This message you heard from the book of Judges today is just one of many. As we keep working our way through this book, here on Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is the teaching pastor of this ministry, and we come to you out of Calvary, Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. In the book of Judges, you hear and learn about Gideon, Jephthah, Deborah, and Samson. These are just a few of the judges that God appointed to the nation of Israel to help them get out of oppressive situations. Essentially, the people of Israel kept rebelling and going against the standards that God had established with Israel generations before. But typical of human nature, they ran away from God's rules, and they went and did whatever they wanted. These choices led them to an unpleasant place of judgment, because it was. Do you have situations where you're handing out consequences for sin with your children? Have you been on the receiving end of consequences or punishment? It's an uncomfortable place to be, whether you're giving the discipline or receiving it. Ultimately, God just wanted the people to follow him with all of their hearts, as he had laid out for them in previous books of the Bible. He wanted to gently discipline them so that their hearts would come back to him in the process. He used these various judges mentioned in this book to be a conduit of what his heart was for them in the long run. If you're ever interested in learning more about this ministry or getting in touch with us in some way, head over to thewaymedia.net. There you can also find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Thanks for listening to Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.